Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences, so please tell everybody, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your relatives, tell your neighbors, tell that weird guy down the street who everybody's afraid of. Hell, even tell your enemies. Tell people in a third world country. It's a show everyone has to hear. This is Cocooning the Microphone with DJ Butterfly Feces. And in fact, it's 9 o'clock sharp. And I want to basically give a special ringing endorsement to Maya Harrison, the recording artist who, like Betty, she doesn't just sing, she doesn't just dance, she moves mountains. She's traveled the world as much as I was, really, at one point. In fact, check out the Oscar-winning film Chicago. She's not just on the soundtrack, she's in the movie. One of the ladies on Murderous Row. As always, she can't help but steal the show. Previously on Cocoon of the Microphone, I was telling you about how, honestly, a man such as myself, from the moment he came into the world, he was born and raised on the gleeful, grateful streets of McKinleyville, California, where horses have the right of way, home of the world's largest totem pole, home of that non-river forest, that gorgeous waterfall, home of a town that really had everything. Spent too much of his life there, almost all, and it was the best place there was. But dang it, he was missing out on everything else in life. He was missing that boat. This place had everything. But what did everywhere else have? He was curious. He went on a world tour, especially after his parents gave him the boot, because the thing is, after high school, guess what? He didn't have the money to go to college. You know, any college will let you in the language as long as you got the money. But now, everyone's breaking down the doors to get into any college. Anything. People doing it online, people doing it whatever. You don't need to have the grades anymore. You just need to have the money. Money. And even that ain't enough, because guess what? Everybody's trying to go back. Find that high-demand skill, whatever. DJ Butterfly Feces was cast aside on the street. And this is before he was DJ Butterfly Feces. He had his own radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. Anyone or anybody else heard a word he said? But he still basically rocked the mic every night. He wasn't just spinning records. And he wasn't personally just giving news, weather, and traffic. He had something to say. A soapbox. Anywho, DJ Butterfly Feces was somebody. Somebody with a burning desire. After his parents kicked him out of the room he could never really afford to basically pay rent on, because McKinleyville, it was so nice a lot of people didn't want to leave, but there were no jobs. Nothing out there. Nothing working. The more technology evolves, the less use they have need for people. There's more people now, more than ever, and less jobs. He was out on the street with nothing more than the clothes on his back and some stuff tied in a bandana on the back of a stick, like an old-fashioned railway-jumping hobo. He went out to the woods to speak with the bums. No, vagabonds. That's the word I like to use, vagabonds. And one of them was a man who called himself O.K. He didn't say it was okay. He said that was his name. Now, our hero was skeptical, because a guy who won't tell you his real name and has a name like that, you can't help when you see something a little bit unfamiliar. Toes. You're not a baby anymore. You learn to be afraid of what you don't know. Not what you don't understand, what you don't know. Anywho, that a long conversation, and that okay person dubbed him DJ Butterfly Feces. He was not happy being dubbed DJ Butterfly Feces because he had another name, a real name, but he dubbed him this because he told him his whole theory. Now, this okay person was going around the world, and honestly, according to okay, he was a man who was in the money, who had his own self-made entrepreneurship, who was wealthy, but went around picking up garbage, trash, cleaning up the world, making it a better place. So what happened? Well, honestly, he said that he was going from place to place, town to town, even in McKinleyville, and offering to basically clean up the trash in McKinleyville. And he asked our hero to do the same thing. And he told him the name. Why the name? Why DJ Butterfly Feces? Why? He said, okay, look, everybody knows the myth about the cocoon, the butterfly in the cocoon. No, I'm sorry, that's not a myth. I'm sorry, my mistake, that's not a myth. It's a fact. People remember that because you know what? It's a perfect metaphor for life. That little worm basically builds itself a workshop where it can grow in and develop and really basically emerge as something. There's a metaphor for life in that. What you don't realize, look, every insect, every organic, every living material makes waste, right? Craps. You don't realize is that butterfly that's flying out there, it's leaving its droppings behind, that is growing into lush, whatever. Because fertilizer, manure, even though what they tell you, BS, it does make something. It makes everything grow. So it's not all bad. From BS can emerge great things. Now our hero DJ Butterfly Feast was not happy being called that because, well, come on, how would you like being called bug crap? No, look, I know I'm just rehashing stuff, but in case you missed it, I want you to get the message. Anywho, basically, long story short, after they spent the night in the tent, after they did that, guess what? They basically packed their things, got in the Winnebago, got in their cars, and drove all the way across the country, convoy style. Which species was totally awake for. He stuck his head out the window and kept his eyes. They drove all the way to Miami, Florida. Now, of course, when basically Feces first made it to Miami, Florida, in early January, by the way, it was like spring break almost. Spring break in January. All those beautiful beaches, everything Miami had to offer. Because there was only one beach that Feces had ever basically seen. That was the one in McKinleyville. But see, the way that wore off, and you know why, because, well, even when you're living in paradise, when you're broke, when you're a vagabond, what people consider a bum, you're a homeless person. Even if you're a homeless person in paradise, you're still homeless, and things were bad. Because not only was there an overflow in the hotter parts of the world, and the places, in the more beautiful places, there was a huge, growing, flowing crop of people. There were so many homeless people, there were. Feces had his work cut out for him. Oh, that he did. That he did, and then some, my brothers and sisters. What did he do? Well, basically, went up to like every single person, like a schmuck, hat in hand, trying to basically convince them to get involved with the cause. That all the vagrants, all the homeless people, needed to unite together, be part of a guild. See, if they're all homeless, if everybody's homeless. If all the homeless unite together, then guess what? They can move mountains. If they're all unified. Even in dang capitalist America, where everybody's where the rich are only getting richer and the broke are getting more broke by the minute. Everybody else is getting more broke. Everybody else. Something had to be done. Something. But I think the $10 million freaking question is what? Well, once again, DJ Butterfly Feces went up to all of them. trying to convince them. I told them the story. The story of basically, we all know about the butterfly that goes in that cocoon, the caterpillar that emerges, the little worm that goes into the cocoon and emerges a butterfly. It's a very old tale and the perfect metaphor for life. And I also told them about that bug that basically drops bug crap like everywhere, all over the place, and fertile life emerges from it. And they all looked at me like I was really on something. Oh, God, another crazy homeless person who really just can't comprehend the fact that he's not going to be homeless. He is basically forced to twist his head around to comprehend how messed up he truly is. I was so angry at OK for doing this. I thought maybe this was one big joke of my. Maybe he was just punking me. And you know what else? I also thought, why did I believe this? I knew it was going to be difficult, but even as I'm talking to these people, even I realize it does sound insane. Hey, come on, wouldn't you? I mean, come on, wouldn't you? I mean, we all know about, I mean, we all know that that's true to life, but seriously, I mean, some guy basically comes up on the street, you know, some homeless person runs up and starts talking about the revolution. What do you think of this guy needs to be committed? It's true, a lot of us basically vagabond people on the street. We do snap. Because the only thing that can stop us from killing ourselves. Well, maybe it was time to make all that change. I sat down and told them my plan. I told them about spreading the message, get everybody involved. And when I told them my moniker, they took me even less seriously, if that were possible. No, really, I mean, they just looked at me basically like, am I supposed to take seriously a guy who basically has been dubbed bug crap? Insect diarrhea. They all had fun with that. None of them called me DJ Butterfly Feces. Let's see, pill bug poop, worm trots, dragonfly flatulence, that one was my favorite. But really, you know? I ran up to OK basically for a second. I said, please, OK, you got to change my name. I get the metaphor. I really do, but why? It's called the good names were taken. Is that it? I know. It's one of those things that's going to grab your attention, but not in a good way. People just don't take serious. People are not listening to the message, the words of somebody who basically has a name. Butterfly Feces. I know you gave me that name, but listen to it again. It's DJ, but yeah, DJ Butterfly Feces. Maybe if I still was spinning records, even basically when I was on the radio, I wasn't a DJ. I was a soapbox guy. You still are. Except now you can actually be heard. No one was listening on your radio show, were they? Were they? No. Why is that? I don't know. There's so many people out there, thanks to social media, everyone has a message. Everyone has a message that's been, you know, streamlined and syndicated throughout the globe. It's hard to think it stands out in a way. You know, it's like, you know, before social media, those guys had it easier. You knew people who were basically in movies now, but, you know, today it's impossible to become a celebrity. There's so many damn shows, even on the internet, web, whatever, and on streamlining TV and every form there is, how do you make something that really stands out? I mean, who's really a celebrity now? I'm talking like became famous now. I'm not even impossible to be famous anymore. And Andy Warhol said 15 minutes, but I think even that's passe. I don't think anyone's possible for no minutes at all. I mean, you can see their stuff, you know, but whatever, he smacks me. Your name is DJ Butterfly Feces. Look, every single prophet there is, every single visionary, nobody ever took them seriously. They said they were crackpots, they were drunks, they were stoned, they were insane. No one likes a new radical idea at first. It takes a while for it to catch on. Nobody likes change. But this isn't even that new. The whole idea about uniting everybody, all these people, uniting on a global scale. Keep pushing. You want to know something? People didn't like the idea of civil rights. There was a time when literally freeing the slaves, even the slaves themselves were terrified at the thought. You listen to Cocoon and the Microphone. This is DJ Butterfly Feces here. It is 15 minutes after the hour, 9:15. Keep in mind, Maya Harrison's Smooth Move Tour is still in effect and has been since 2015. Huh. It's weird. That's when I first went up on the street. I looked okay in the eyes. Come on, man. Change my name. No. Do you want to help these people or not? Of course I do, but give me a different name. Maybe Steve or something. How about Bob? John. People trusted John. Dude, John means toilet, means boo-boo, too. Crap. Not necessary. Really? I mean, come on, dude. Go over there. Do you want? Maybe you're not meant to be the prophet. All right, I'll try. Good man. Went to every single one of them. I told my plan. I told him I can't do it alone. We all got to get together. We have to unite. I told him to go to their basically fellow homeless people. And I was at Miami Beach, but you see, I couldn't just stay at Miami Beach. See, there's beaches all over Miami. Places all over. So you know what? Beyond the beach, I went all over. I said, where are their homeless people? I went to everywhere there was, which there was a lot of. There are nowadays. People, I told you. Guess what? Homelessness, I told this before, homeless is not, they're not a minority anymore. They're becoming the majority. Those are times when, to be a hobo, there really had to be something wrong. It really had to be really, nowadays, you know what I'm talking about. I was going all over. I was trying to get everybody involved, but see, at first, I knew it wasn't going to be so simple. If you got to understand something, nothing is for everybody. You know, I was talking about uniting everybody for the greater good. It would save everybody. Nothing truly works for everyone. Nothing is going to please and work for everybody. It's a scientific fact of life, you know what I mean? I don't know. Honestly, went to everybody. Told them a message, told them the belief. We all basically unified and linked together. Like, imagine every chain in the world just locking together, covering the entire globe, wrapping itself all around. I don't know. Yes. I made the promise of it. May change my approach. A lot of crackpots on the streets. I got to stand out a little bit. Like, stand out. But in a way that I still make it clear that I know what I'm talking about. For a while, I was exhausted. Spreading the message, was just the biggest, you know. Carrying the message, your back starts to break after a while. I was really exhausted, and you know what? What am I saying? I just gotten here. I haven't been there very long. I was going to every single whatever. I don't know. I really don't. What am I saying? I went to everybody. I started telling everybody the message. I made sure to I tried telling it basically to some people who weren't necessarily homeless. They thought I was just trying to get a dollar from them. I didn't. I was just telling them, please, give us some kind of resource. We can all help each other. Something. Anything. And they shunned us. Because one thing is, they didn't want to get too close. They didn't want to get too close to us. They were afraid we were going to mug them. They were afraid that we were going to basically really hit them up for money. They were afraid, well, if they get too close and comfy with us, they're going to feel the need to, they might catch it, you know? Like, I want to be homeless too, just to be around this person. You know what I mean. You couldn't know what I mean more. You have these thoughts, good people, don't you? I went by some of the homeless shelters there. And in a way, before I could basically, I basically thought about basically checking in myself, getting a permanent room residency. But I didn't do anything. You know what I did? I'll tell you what I did. Basically went in there and told them the message also. All of us united. Whatever. But no, a lot of them were more interested in basically trying to get off the street. Never have anything to do with homeless again. This whole homeless thing was basically just going to be dirty little secret they never spoke of. Don't ever tell anybody you had nowhere to live. Never. I don't know. You tell me what I was going to do. Still, I started to get the band together. I started to get the union organized. I started to. I really did. It was a slow process. And you know what? I panhandled a little bit because I want to make clear. We weren't just asking for money. We wanted basically the means to share amongst each other. I said, okay, a lot of us could have stood to ran a comb through our hair, to shave a little bit, to clip our nails. There's not enough people basically trying to really help the homeless. I know, it doesn't seem like there's much money in it. But doesn't it seem like it's too big a problem? Get people off the streets, make sure they never have to be there. But look. I know I told you. Everybody should basically know what it's like for whatever. I think every person should basically spend some time as a true vagabond. Love that term. That's the term I use. Vagrants. Vagabonds. Without home, employment. Say I jump to the term bum. I mean, a bum can have a job and a place to live. A bum is someone who doesn't do nothing. And that's what I used to be. I'm telling you, before that, I was a bum. I was a guy sitting by. I didn't know how to sit still and get in the game. I was a bum. And when I got on the street, I started hustling. I had a job, all right. I had a mission. I was helping everybody. I was going to be some patriot saint. The thing is, I thought in a way we need to be taken seriously as an organization. So I said, everybody, let's make a point to pick up some of the garbage where we live, the beach we occupy. I said, why? Because this is our home. We need to protect where we live. Protect where we live. You know, do not you know what where you eat. One guy didn't want to clean up at all. You know what he said? He said, no, listen. I said, the dirtier it is, the more people like you to leave you alone. It's why basically I spent a lot of time, personally, at the city dump. You know why? Because guess what? Nobody gets chased away from there. It's filthy. It smells bad. It's yours. Like rubbing crap all over something so nobody else will touch it. I felt like something still needed to be done. It was so messed up. I had to do something. I told everybody about OK and the mission. One of them said, you got a name like bug crap. I thought you'd basically, a name like that, you think you'd be happy to be where it stinks, it's dirty and smells bad. It's about fertilizing, you moron, and spreading the earth. Even crap can be clean. You know? How? Oh, my God. Didn't they teach you this stuff in basic? Look. Why'd they throw you on the street? I thought you were one of those guys who basically was just made obsolete by the immigrants coming in here, maybe technology getting so much, or maybe didn't have a... No. You just got kicked out for being stupid, didn't you? Now, look. Let's basically try to make this place a nicer, cleaner place to live. And I did. I truly did. And then basically, we started picking up garbage. We started basically cleaning up this. The junk was thrown in the seas. And you know what? Things were looking cleaner, better, more idealistic. And we got in trouble. No, you were right. It turns out the cops basically kind of came by. They didn't like we were spending too much time at the beach. They really didn't like basically the fact that, well, they had professionals basically come and clean and pick up the garbage. And by doing this, we were kind of putting them out of work. This is the thing about the government. Okay, look, you need to know this. Sometimes when you fix the problem, you kill the goose that's laying the golden eggs. The government could basically really keep drugs out of the country. But basically, if they did that, then billions of people would be out of work. They don't want to get rid of the drug problem. They just try to temper it. And really, they looked at us as people putting them out of work. I stood up to the cop. I said, listen, we're doing all this for a reason. We live with a sense of purpose. To make this world fine, cleaner. And the simple, sad scientific fact is basically we're unionized. We're part of a union, our union. One of them laughed and said, we got capitalism here, not socialism. How far are they going to get with the union? This ain't France. I was furious. I had to tell him, look, you do whatever you want. We're cleaning up the place where we live. We're making this city better. And finally, speaking of the cops, I basically heard that one of them said, hey, this guy, I forget his name now. Dude, this is a long time ago. I can't remember all the name, but he was arrested. He was basically trying for going to the bathroom at the beach in the water. Well, actually on the surf and sand, publicly. Why did he do such a thing? You got to realize that, once again, I told you this was a big thing. If you actually, okay, check your internet history. This is a real thing. This was going on in Miami at the time. There was this whole thing where all these public toilets were overflowing. You know what? Spilling out whatever and were, and you know, disgustingly. And they had these emoticon. They had that poop emoticon of all the bathrooms that were overflowing. Literally. I'm serious. They had this. It was a real thing. And anywho, what happened was all these public bathrooms, it wasn't just for us vagabonds didn't have a place to. Even regular people in the street had no place to almost go to the bathroom, per se, when they went, they had to run home or run to a restaurant, whatever. It was marked all over the map. It was a really big thing. And sadly, the homeless community was blamed for it. That's right, us. What were we going to do? Most of us weren't voting. Don't believe us were paying taxes anymore. It was a big epidemic. It was a big thing. So anywho, what to do? What to do? Well, thing is, I basically almost wanted to draw a line in the sand. I wanted to get bloody. I wanted to get violent. Because really, honestly, I was the guy who was trying to make sure that basically every, I kept with my idea, I want every single homeless person to have some kind of roof over their head. Came up with the idea of, honestly, is there a city dump nearby? I wanted all the junk heap cars that basically didn't really run so well anymore to be given to a homeless person. So every single homeless person can at least, you know what, maybe they can live in a trailer, even if not necessarily in a park. What's that old saying? You know you're white trash. You know you're trash, period. You know you're trailer trash when you're in a trailer but not a trailer park. Some kind of car, some kind of wheels, whatever. I want that to happen. That didn't go so well either. But hey, I tried to explain to the cop. It's not like we're trying to basically live in all them porta potties that are overflowing. Yeah, sure, not anymore. They're all shut down. You're listening to Cocooning the Microphone. It's 30 minutes after the hour, 9:30 p.m. You're here with DJ Butterfly Feecy, Maya Harrison, And she's all over. Check her out on YouTube. Like all recording artists, whatever's, literally, you can hear all her music, get all her magic off the net at your greatest, at your earliest and easiest convenience. I wonder what to do exactly. I came up with that mantra first, trying to make sure every single homeless person, but before we talk about the, you know, getting them some dental care, maintenance, nails cut, washed in skin, whatever, I was thinking something about, okay, well, first let's make sure they have some kind of roof over their head. Sure, talking about them, feeding them really, but somehow the shelter thing seemed to, I don't know, like maybe it might be easier. Let's start with that. Tents. Tents, something. I don't know. Something. Where should homeless people basically be living? Well, look, once again, a lot of them basically did move into the beach, so to speak. They don't have a house there. They don't have a place on the beach. They had a place on the beach. A lot of homeless people were basically finding residency in their cars. Me? I was thinking well, surely the most busted junk heaps. Let's get one for each homeless person. I started a sort of whole grassroots campaign around it. Everybody has some kind of solid metal roof and four walls around them. If the car didn't run so well. And then they complain about parking violations. Once again, those are for people paying, working. But dude, I gotta be honest, I really thought they were just basically mad us talking about sheltering people. As one of the other vagrants told me, one of the other vagabonds said to me, feces, is it? Think. Thank you, pile of droppings. Think. They don't want us to have a roof and four walls around. They don't want us to eat because they're trying to give us incentive to try to need their homes and their jobs and be part of the system anymore. I mean, if we ever basically found a way to, you know, at least have some of all that without having to play their game. They're trying to make us need them, you know. It's like my ex-wife, you know. I mean, when I was living with this woman, she was always trying to get rid of my stuff. She was trying to throw out my things, you know. I let her have basically almost the entire rest of the house. I did. But you know what? I said, okay, this room is mine. These are my things. She always went to my back with her, and then she tried to steal and throw things out. You know, she was always trying to get rid of my stuff. If I'd question it, she'd just say she didn't know where it was. And she threw it out. Before she threw me out, before we threw each other out. I don't know where she is. I think she's on the street, too. But I'll tell you something, man. I'll tell you something. There are always people who are basically going to try to find some way to make it so you need them. They need you to need them. One thing that terrifies them is if you don't need them, they can't control you anymore. That's what's going on. That's what's been going on. And he was right. While I was there, I tried to go to all the beaches, as many beaches as humanly possible, physically possible. Try to make friends with everybody. Everybody. You know what? I did. I got to know everybody. I'll tell you something. Now, I'm not basically a fitness buff. I mean, thing is, I had an average kind of build before this, but all that time I spent on the street, I've been starving. I've been eating quite regularly. I've become quite bony, spindly quite a bit. But let me tell you something. One of the things I basically was really great at was yoga. I taught them yoga while I was there, because I remember telling them, dude, if you do this, you'll center yourself. I know you can be, you know, it feels good to be, you know, quite peaceful, serene, right there in the morning when you basically literally they wake up next to the beach. Hearing those sea sounds first thing in the morning can be very relaxing. It's why there are so many beach bums, park bums, Once again, I hate that word. A bum is someone who doesn't do nothing. These people didn't get kicked in the street because they weren't doing nothing. They basically got thrown out there because the rich people wanted to be bums. They got tired of paying the biggest, highest markup on tax, whatever, technology, whatever. They started throwing people out on the street like so much trash. You know what I'm talking about. You know, I know, we know. I taught them yoga. I encouraged them to basically try practice meditation. All they had to do was listen to the beautiful sea air and whatever. We did that. Stayed up late talking about them. Everybody had a story to tell about how they first wound up on the beach. Kicked out into that world and whatever. And then a lot of them, they had real basically jobs and careers. And even people who basically had that high demand, low labor skill that was making a lot of money, a lot of cash. Now this is job security. They wound up on the street because I don't know, they made one mistake and nobody trusted them again. Or everybody, or there were more and more and more people going to college trying to do the same thing. And then there was an overlap. Or because immigrants basically came to this country, which is what this country was founded upon, and dang it all, they took even the little labor jobs that nobody else wanted to do, so that everybody was just... It's a real thing. And also, once the internet put everything out there, people don't even talk to each other anymore. They text. I made this point before, haven't I? I don't know. Seems like everyone lives their whole life on a computer screen now. We're the only people living like people used to. Well, whatever. So be it. I taught them meditation. One guy basically knew karate. He taught everybody martial arts personally and whatever. And you know what? In a way, that's something else the homeless need to learn. I thought so because things can be quite dangerous out here. Didn't have a security system. And as much as I was trying to get everybody together, there's always someone in every community, in every big, large collection you really shouldn't trust. I'll embellish a little bit more on that in a while, but back to my point. We were basically doing great things, big things. We were things. At least I felt like we were. The message was getting out there, and everybody was basically desiring. I got a few people to basically demand a few more homeless shelters, a few more ways to make sure that homeless people basically had gotten themselves off the streets. Because one of them told me, listen, I wound up on the street because I couldn't take more. I couldn't walk the line. You know, you got to walk the line personally, whatever. And, you know, it's like, in a way, you think it's like riding a bike. Once you do it, you never forget. But that's not true. The truth is, you get tired of it. I mean, you get tired of the grind day in, day out. The cycle is going to fall and break down. You can't do it. You know what I mean? And the thing is, I just couldn't take the same job, the same whatever, working just to come home exhausted and start over the light at the end of the tunnel. So I broke bad. I got tired of walking that line. This is an amazing experience. You know what? I'm not afraid to die out here. I think I'm going to. I want to. I was impressed. Live free, die free. That's Vermont's motto, isn't it? I get you, but listen to you, my brother. Listen. This is the important part. I'm trying to get everybody to basically team up. I understand. Hey, look, if you don't, whatever, but we can take better care of ourselves. You know, we can be cleaner. We can be We can be of contribution even if we're not, you know, necessarily part of the, this is a Roots campaign. We're cleanup. We're making the world a better place. Now here, good luck. But aren't you part of all that? I don't know. I don't know yet. Like I told you, it's really kind of hard to convince almost everybody to do a certain something. You can convince them to need a place to live and to need a job. And you can convince them that they're going to need a significant other or whatever. But when it's a big movement like this, ugh, God. My mouth was starting to taste dirty. I wish I could brush my teeth. Starting to smell bad, too. It wasn't just basically that I hadn't bathed in a few days. It was being around them. You don't realize how all that bacteria gets in the air or whatever and does not, you know? And you know what? Funny thing, true story. That's what all human life, that's what all living life organisms were, bacteria. See, all living life basically really was bacteria. It's a fact. Like fungus, that's stage one of all living life, you know? You got to get that off or it starts to eat away at you. It became whatever, but I mean, really, honestly, there's so much of it growing. Who was going to help these people? Who was going to save the world? Who? Okay, I was. I told you that before. I basically spent a lot of time really thinking about what I was going to do first. Okay, somebody once said, save yourself, then you can save the rest of the world. How was I going to save myself? I was traveling with these guys, this okay guy, and the rest of these van people. See, that's a cool thing. I wasn't necessarily a homeless person. I was a drifter. We lived in that van, whatever. We're going from place to place. And we're going to hang around there for a while. I kept an eye on OK because I was afraid.
Here's the result from search.
I was afraid he was going to leave me there. I really was. I was truly afraid because the thing is, as much really as I did like it here, and I was showing some. Yeah, I was actually getting some results. I didn't want to stay here forever. I didn't want to see the rest of whatever. I wanted to go back to McKinley. I admit it. I wanted to go back. I'll tell my parents whatever. I'll find a job. I don't care what it is. I will do whatever they ask. Whatever. But I don't think this is going to work. If it does, I don't think I have the means to survive to keep, you know, doing this out here on the streets suffering. I'm basically like Gandhi, like starving myself, suffering for what divine purpose? Was I going to be a martyr? Was I going to wind up dead on the streets? Was I going to? I don't know. Wasn't going to be simple. I told them my plan. A lot of them laughed and said, you don't think we thought about all that, trying to find a car, a van for a lot of us to live in? A lot of them like that. They don't want to give it to us. A tent either. The law comes around there and destroys them. They're punishing us for being poor. It's like, I still kept wondering if there was some place in society where maybe we could go someplace and live off the land or whatever. No good. Anywhere it's possible to basically, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Anytime the sentient life, there's some kind of society. You're listening to Cocoon in the Microphone. This is DJ Butterfly Feces. He's here inviting you to get with the cause and help the homeless, the vagabonds. Anyone's help. Get behind the cause. Donate to them. Find some way to basically make sure that those who are especially disenfranchised aren't that way for much longer. Get them what they need, okay? Okay. Maya Harrison still continues her tour throughout the world on maya.org, myevents.org. I think that's the name of the website. Well, just type in Maya Harrison. She got her own website. Never. Check her out. Once again, I mean, I talked to OK. I said, it really is a worthwhile idea. Do you really have the money to do all this? Are you really an entrepreneur, investor? Are you really, all that and more? Are you? I hope so. But either way, not everyone can afford to do what you claim you're doing. You don't think anyone's come up with the idea of trying to basically make sure every single homeless person has some kind of roof over their head? Whatever. But the forces that be, nature is just weeding some people out. It ain't right. But it's what is. Look at me. It's a nice attitude. Look, every single visionary had that same moment where they doubted themselves. It'll never happen. It'll never be. It'll never whatever. And you know what? The people who are behind all this, all that evil, they're hoping you're going to say that. Because then you won't do nothing. Do you want me? You want to basically get back in the van? You want me to take you back to McKinleyville? You can go and beg your parents to take you back. I almost said yes, but somehow I just couldn't go back. But you get this, don't you? They threw me out. I didn't just have my pride. I mean, what am I going to do? Get a job? There are no jobs. You know, I could go there and live a quiet life, but I don't know. There was some part of me that really kind of sort of, I don't know. There was a part of me that really just wanted to be part of this thing. Even if this idea doesn't work, and even if people say to hell with the homeless, even if this thing doesn't take off, it's such an important, radical, innovative idea. We all want to be comfortable. We all want to be, I don't know, something. We all want to live a comfortable life. And it's not just about us working hard now so we can relax later. Because how many of us really can really afford to do that? No. It's about us all basically getting out there and living with a sense of purpose, a meaning. Even if it's something you're willing to die for. I thought about martyring myself. No, really, I thought about doing myself. It would help the message. Like that monk of the 60s who set himself on fire to make a point. Now, let's say, at least I won't be cold anymore. Now, what am I saying? It was Miami Beach. I wasn't cold. All those beaches in Miami, it was not cold there. January was nice, you know, once again. In McKinleyville, that's a part of California where it snows. But once again, I decided somehow I was going to carry this thing throughout to the end. Would OK be by my side? Would whatever divine purpose and faith be by my side? What to do? Get back to work. I was hungry. We all basically once again had some scrap that we try to share amongst each other. And it kind of turned into basically a little bit of a fight on the beach because guess what? They got heated because everyone was asking for a piece because by uniting everyone together, when they see food, they're like an animal. They're going to kill for that food. They're all going to turn on each other. There's a music. Like stray dogs who basically see a bone lying in the middle of the road. I want to bash my head in. For one moment, I walked away in anger. They started screaming back, "Hey, wait, hey, where are you going? Hey, where are you going, Mr. Bug Fart? Come back. Mr. Insect Crap, Mr. Insect Feces, Mr. Butterfly, Mr. Butterfly Shinola. What about your fertilizer? What about your message? Aren't you going to run away from us now? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I started talking to him over the course of several days and whatever. But then basically, OK came up to me and said, "Hey, buddy, good news. We're headed off now." "What happens to me?" "Yeah, you're coming with us. Come on, we're gonna see someplace else for a while." We had basically been in the likes of Miami for several days, and I had spread my message, spread it like, well, mayo on a sandwich, like peanut butter, like all over. And I kept trying to tell them, I hope them, just because I leave. Now, this is just a starter thing. This isn't going to automatically, magically fix everything. You guys all have to work together and be together and share resources and whatever and help clean up. Like, where are you going? Thought you were the leader. I'm going to spread the message elsewhere. We're going everywhere. Are you really home? Yes, yes, we are. We're traveling in that car. I'm serious. I don't know. I got in the car, and I looked away, and you know, it's amazing. It's true, you never miss the well till that water runs dry. You never love stuff, you never truly until it's time to say goodbye. You know? When it's over, that's when the tears start. And you know what? You always wish you just had one more second, a little bit more time just to say goodbye. I mean, I said goodbye. I did. But I wanted something. I really made an effort to help those people. I talked to a lot of them. A lot of them basically didn't trust each other for obvious reasons. A lot of them didn't want to make a change. A lot of them were uncomfortable. A lot of them didn't want to leave the spot they were bumming in. I kept telling them to talk and really get involved and help each other and basically pick up whatever. Some of them said, "They threw me out in the street. Why should I clean it up for them?" Man, some of them really did become bums out there. They were so angry that they got thrown out there, they decided they didn't want to do anything to help. They wanted to just die and litter up the street and be one more thing, like a tin can for the city to have to pick up. I like to listen to this. I like to think some people really listen to me. Some people really want to get involved and did something. I don't know what. I don't know. I don't know. All I knew is that we basically made our first stop, our first start. And actually, OK invited a few of the people from Miami to join us. A few. Get in the car, come with us on the trip. In that RV, that Winnebago, and those bump-up cars that follow, we're going to go around there. Whatever. And no, for the record, we got a few homeless people in the homeless shelters and maybe even helped them get jobs, even not just basically showing up at a soup kitchen, that's volunteer, not just basically showing up as part, but working there. We got a few people to help. Help, help. We made some kind of difference. I know they say if you just save one person, if you help one person, you've made an effort. If you basically just helped one person. One person. But I don't know. So it felt like it wasn't enough. This is all of us or none of us. You've heard that line before, but it's true. Especially true now more than ever. Because really, there was a real problem that needed to be fixed. As we got in the car and drove off, thought about all the people who were inspired. But somehow I got a nagging feeling they were going to forget everything I said the moment I left and wasn't there to scream at them anymore. And the people that wouldn't listen because they didn't want to. As I thought about everything, where I was headed, I basically went with this okay guy because he sounded inspiring. My parents told me not to get into a car with a stranger, but when you're a vagrant on the street, you don't have a lot of trust. Except, I don't know. I was scared. I don't know. We drove off. Saw the sign there once again saying, "Goodbye, Miami." Where are we headed now? We're going back to the other side of the country. Let's see, what's the opposite of this? Back to McKinleyville? No. You don't. Maybe we're basically going to L.A. now. If you're saying so, but I just thought it was so interesting. This okay guy basically took me from McKinleyville all the way across the country. Where are we going now? I remember when we first came out here, I saw all the spots through whatever. And I wish we would have stopped. I wanted to stop there in a minute, but no. We had a place to go. People to see. I don't know what. It's basically everything word by. This time I was able to sleep. But I had dreams. Weird dreams. I dreamt that I was homeless. I was never going to get off the street. I dreamt that nobody was going to listen to me. I was going to say this to the wrong person. He'd pull a knife. I dreamt that... What did I dream? I dreamt that it was over for me. Where are we headed now? Where? I kept asking, okay, where are we headed to now? We're going to spread the message next. Is the next place going to be a little easier? He smiled and said, "It's a surprise." You've been listening to Cocoon in the Microphone featuring DJ Butterfly Feces. It is 9:58 right now, 58 minutes after the hour. It is basically almost 10 o'clock. Please. Enjoy the subtle slow music of Maya Harrison, another woman who basically is making her own journey and traveling all across the globe in many ways. And tune in tomorrow for our next installment. Find out where the message that is carries DJ Butterfly Feces next. Get involved, stay with the cause, and love one another. Anything else to say? Tune in next week. The exciting conclusion. Not going to be concluded. This is going to go on. Thanks for listening. Come back. You hear? Please come back. Please. I'm not trying to get you to listen to me. Get behind the cause. You may wind up yourself on the street someday. Long before you know it. Get involved.